the book of Isaiah 8:1. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Before we look at the name Maher Shalal Hashbaz, it is worth paying attention, Apostle Arkady writes, to the large scroll and the method of writing on it with a man's pen. The large scroll speaks of importance and faithfulness that is contained within the name. The writing upon the large scroll with a man's pen speaks of the fact that the given name needs to be received in the format of a seal so that it could be understood and confessed by us. Now, the name Maher Shalal Hashbaz means a robbery is in a rush or a hurry, an extraction is accelerated. He sees the prey or the prize, he sees his importance, his inheritance, and quickly robs the old man. How does this robbery occur? Apostle Arkady writes, since we have gotten more used to being robbed ourselves by the old man than us robbing him, we know that a robber is not just thievery. A robber is thievery with murder of the old man. Let us look at how this robbery of the old man happens. Luke 11:21-22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. The strong man that we read about is the old man. The stronger man is the seed which we have grown into the fruit of righteousness, or Christ within us. The armor in the hands of the strong one is the law which condemns us. And the armor in the hands of the stronger one is the law that no longer condemns us. The stronger one robbing the strong one is our imperishable inheritance, or what today is mortal and perishable, the mortal soul, perishable body, but what needs to be swallowed up by immortality and incorruption, by the sacred man. The goal of this word is to focus our attention on the fact that while we have not yet taken the armor from the strong one in the form of the law of Moses, which the old man relies upon, we will not be able to overcome him and to take our imperishable inheritance. To take the armor, Apostle Arkady writes, is to understand that those regulations which we find in the law of Moses, they existed prior in the covenant with Abraham, who lived long before the law of Moses, which built a legitimate relationship between God and the man who is in his likeness. Again, everything that we find in the law of Moses, all of these things, all these regulations, including tithes and offerings that we participate in, they were given far before. They were given in the covenant of Christ when God made a covenant with Abraham. This is the covenant of Christ. And it was 430 years prior to the law of Moses. The law of Moses was not yet existing. But what God, the covenant he made with Abraham, then found its place in the law of Moses after 430 years. This covenant and these regulations that are between God and the righteous Abraham were violated and consigned to oblivion or were left behind by his descendants. And then the law of Moses came after 430 years to now have the legitimate right to discover or reveal the sin in us, in the man, reveal this sin and then have the legitimate ability to impose a death sentence for this sin. Therefore, the law of Moses designated the territory for the wrath of God, which is impacted now by the law of sin and death, and that is kept by the means of the law of works. How does the person look at the law? The sinner says, or the old man, we can say, how can I earn enough? according to God's law of Moses, so I can receive the promises. The righteous, or the new man, asks, how can I use the law of Moses as a tool or armor against the old man, according to its purpose, so that I can then receive access to the inheritance of Abraham? As we can see, the righteous, he uses the law of Moses against the old man so that he can receive access to the blessings of Abraham. When we're born again, we look like the Bible. If we take the book, the Bible, it is of two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament takes about two-thirds of the book. Why is it old? Because it discovers the old man, reveals him inside of us, and the old man is discovered in this two-thirds of the book, and only one-third of the book is called the New Testament. This is where God reveals himself in the new man. Of course, we first are born from God, and we only have the likeness of God by the fact of our birth. But our mortal soul and our perishable body speaks of the opposite, that within us we have a different law that is contrary to the law of God. And so now we, in order to, for the old man to cease existing within us, so that it would just be the law of God, the old itself, the word old, before we die or are raptured, it no longer needs to be within us. The law, the old law, it reveals this old man, and the law of Moses then becomes the law of sin and death. For this not to happen, the old man, the new man, needs to take the law of Moses and use it as a tool, because the law of Moses was given to the nation of Israel for the purpose of them not to touch these promises that were given to Abraham. And God said, remove your hands, remove your hand, remove your hand, you're lawless. And they say, how are we lawless? I have a Jewish last name. My grandmother was a Jew. And God says, okay, I give you the law of Moses. Now the law of Moses will determine who can take these promises and who can't, so that God doesn't need to continually watch after the hands that are trying to take what's not theirs. And so the law of Moses was to reveal what's inside, the sin that's inside, and write this verdict for this. And so we, as children of God, how can we take the promise of Abraham in Jesus Christ? This happens when we use the law of Moses properly, correctly. If we don't, it becomes the law of sin and death. When we perceive it as the law of works, meaning I have to earn everything before God, this idea that you need to earn everything, you don't need to earn it. You're not a slave of sin, you are his son. I will never need to try to earn this. I do this naturally, the law of righteousness, the works of righteousness. And look, seeing the law or using the law, I am identifying this one in me who wants to earn any these things from God. And I die through the law of righteousness to the law of works, so that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life would absolutely be able to deliver me, free me, so there not be an indication that the law of sin and death ever existed in us. And so how do you determine that you're trying to earn everything from God? You're under the law of works if you do so, and you make the decision, I need to earn everything, and you determine this. Right now we're going to determine this. We're going to participate right now in tithes and offerings. Our father Abraham gave his tithe to the Lord far before the law of Moses. And God then said, put this law of tithes and offerings into the law as well, and I will now determine after this who is mine and who isn't. And when you put the money into the basket, what are you expecting? You say, Lord, I expect the word. You said if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, there will be food in my house. And so this is the promise of Abraham is for this person then. But another one, he asks, he says, I gave you a dollar, now give me 100. I give you 1,000, now give me 100,000. And there's a verdict then is written, a death verdict for this person. What are we expecting when we put that money into the basket? Dollars? We're going to sing a psalm right now and thank God that we have the great privilege of hearing the truth, knowing the truth, and understanding the truth. Again, the law of Moses, it is very surprising. God, again, I will remind us that he made a covenant with Abraham 430 years before the law. And when he saw that those tried to take of us the promises of Abraham to whom it did not belong, he had to give them the law of Moses. And so looking at what Abraham did and the prophets of God and what we will expect when we do the same thing. Right now we will serve God with our tithes and offerings. And when we honor him and when we put this money into the basket, it's important to examine ourselves what we expect. I'm not doing this because I'm trying to earn my way into heaven or I want to deal with my financial problems. I honor God and those saints who are trying to deal with their financial issues by giving their tithes. This is not good. You are then under the law of works. The law of works means I did something for you. Now you need to do this for me. That you want to be patted now on the head and so if I did this for you, now you owe me. You need to do this for me. I've never seen a Pastor Arkady do anything like this. He just did the things he did naturally because it came from his heart. He loved God. And so what do we expect, again, to receive from God? That is the question. When we do something for the Lord, when we sing, when we preach, when we serve, when we pray, when we honor God with tithes and offerings, why do you do the things you do? And so this is a very important question, and it's important what the answer is. And so when you answer, you need to answer carefully. And you answer because I do this because I want to honor God, and by honoring him, I acknowledge his authority over me, and I demonstrate my love to him. And he says, money will be, all these things shall be added to you in the promise. God will then handle that as he sees fit. It's important that we understand that the law of tithes and offerings found its place in the law of Moses and existed far before the law. And so if a person has the wrong intentions when he's giving his tithes, he will reap the wrong harvest. You have to be expecting what is imperishable and not what is perishable. Let us stand up and participate in this wonderful service. Please stretch out your right hand as a symbol before our God and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be open to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated.